Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Charlie Cook of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and good, bad, crazy martinis for you as always. Charlie, we start with the good martini, and you know, the fight against Obamacare has been a frustrating one for conservatives. We couldn't stop it in Congress when the Democrats controlled everything. We thought we had a good shot at the Supreme Court last year until Justice John Roberts contorted the law in amazing ways to keep it legal. And now, of course, we find out what's in it with all these new rules and mandates and so forth, one of which was unveiled last year, and that was the contraception mandate. After a big firestorm from religious organizations, Catholics in particular, there was somewhat of an exemption added for them. But now there are other private companies, Hobby Lobby in particular, who's not affiliated with any particular religion, but their owners have religious convictions, and so they don't want to have to honor the contraception mandate either, since that includes abortifacient drugs, which pro-life people believe has the potential to kill a human being at the very earliest stages of fertilization. And the 10th Circuit Court ruling, in initial ruling anyway, that Hobby Lobby does not have to pay fines related to violating that mandate in Obamacare as long as its appeal of the contraception mandate proceeds in court. And the court also seemed to indicate that it thought that Hobby Lobby would win its overall case as well. So while we have to chip away at this thing now, it looks like at least we're going to get a win on this front. At least we hope that's the case.
The decision will hopefully go our way, obviously. Religious tolerance is, of course, the bedrock of a civilized society. Really, one needs to go back a little bit to last year. One of the problems with Obamacare, and indeed one of the criticisms of the other omnibus bill currently being considered, the Senate's immigration bill, is that an awful lot of it actually is not a bill at all, so much as a series of sentences that say that a bureaucrat of some description shall. And the latitude that is afforded within Obamacare to Sebelius, to Health and Human Services, is vast. There is no doubt in my mind whatsoever that the contraception mandate rolled out last year had everything to do with the upcoming election and the president's desire to micro-target certain groups. He started off with this war on women nonsense at about the same time as the contraception mandate was rolled out. He knew exactly how people who have faith and cannot compromise that for political expedience would react. He was extremely clever, is callous and cynical. So hopefully Hobby Lobby will have brought some respite to those who were affected by that blatant political act, and they will prevail in court. It was a disgraceful thing for him to have done.
On to martini number two now, which is always the bad one, and this comes to us from Fox News. The U.S. Park Police has lost track of a huge supply of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, according to a report released Thursday on the law enforcement agency responsible for safeguarding the National Mall and critical American landmarks. In the scathing report, the Inspector General's Office of the Department of Interior faults staff at the agency for having no idea how many weapons they control and says the department has no clear policies or procedures for investigating missing weapons. The office said top managers, including the police chief, have shown a lackadaisical attitude towards firearms management, unquote. Charlie, not exactly reassuring, given that we'll have 500,000 people or more on the mall in the coming week, but also important that apparently a lot more is expected of private gun owners than the government when they control these things.
Well, that last point is the key here. Only a certain number of gun owners in the United States are subject to gun registries. I think Hawaii, California has registration, Washington, D.C., Chicago. They put certain requirements on gun owners. And the opponents of those, including myself, are against it from the ground up, partly because we think it might lead to confiscation, but mostly because we don't want the government having our information. The reason we don't want the government having our information is because the government can't be trusted with it. It can't be trusted to keep hold of it safely. In my country of birth, the government is always losing thumb drives full of millions of people's details on trains. I mean, literally on trains. This has happened three or four times. In America, it seems that they lose 1,400 guns. I really think it is rich for gun control types to assert that the Second Amendment defenders are paranoid in not wanting government involved. When you see what happens when government can't even control its own supply. Now, does this act as a general argument against all gun control? No, it does not. But as we've seen in the last few weeks with the NSA, with the IRS, now with this, really, it should be the state getting its affairs in order. The people are doing quite well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is a relatively simple responsibility for the government. If you go back to what we were talking about in the first martini with the uber-complicated Obamacare and, you know, if immigration passes, that'll be horribly convoluted as well. If they can't get something this simple right, keeping track of weapons, how in the world are they going to organize something as complicated as a healthcare system or an immigration system? Not exactly.
Well, they're not. Because they don't. It really is astonishing to me. In fact, the last 6 months have been pretty good for those of us who have been accused of claiming that government is a mess for ideological reasons. Hopefully, at least those of the other political persuasion will now accept that government really is a mess. I mean, our solution, I imagine you would share this with me, is to limit the size of government in order to limit the mess.
Right.
Theirs would be to clean it up. But either way, it needs cleaning up at the very minimum.
We've had our good, we've had our bad martinis. It's on to the crazy now. And Charlie, it's going to be a somber time this Sunday in Wilsonville, Oregon, near Portland. This comes to us from OregonLive.com. 50,000 bumblebees will be honored in a memorial this weekend at the Wilsonville Target retailer, where a majority of the insects died. State officials directly linked the die-off to trees that had been sprayed with the insecticide Safari. Roselle Medina of Portland said on Facebook that the event will, quote, memorialize these fallen life forms and talk about the plight of the bees and their importance to life on Earth. Thought it would be a good opportunity for people to see that this is not just a news item. With a lot of these ecological catastrophes, they become so abstract that people become scared to feel them. Medina says that he will bring food to the memorial that relies on bees for pollination. It's a 2 o'clock Sunday. I'm sure that's Pacific time if you're interested in attending. Charlie, you and I, I'm sure, are pro bees. We like honey and the way that they, you know, help the ecosystem persist. But I'm not sure that spraying a few trees is worthy of this type of mourning.
No, I don't think I'll be attending. I am a big fan of bees. They are vital to the ecosystem, of course. You couldn't lose bees within it. I have a sort of mixed relationship with flying animals that can sting, because I loathe wasps, but I'm prepared to give bees a pass. Having said that, mourning 50,000 of them, it is funny, our priorities sometimes, and we talked this week about Wendy Davis in the Texas legislature, and there have been 50 million aborted children in the last 40 years. Nobody's really mourning those in Oregon, and 50,000 bees get a memorial service. I think we might need to grow up.
A good point. We'll see what the turnout is for that. Something tells me this guy's going to be eating all his honey by himself, but it is Portland, so who knows? It could be a huge turnout out there.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. The bees, of course, would be even more missed had they been riding on bicycles, because the bicycles in Portland are a sign of civilization.
Oh, well stated. Charlie, it's been great having you with us this week. We'll talk to you later. Have a great weekend.
Great. Thanks very much.
Charlie Cook of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Jim Garrity should be back on Monday, and I'll be with him for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.